go. James chapter number 3. James chapter 3. We'll go there in just a moment. Tomorrow, you'll have the chance to hear tomorrow and then Thursday, Pastor Keith Tebow. Pastor Keith Tebow has years ago sat down in an overnight, staying up all night, wrote out the program for the King's Kids program. How many ever went to King's Kids when you were little? Some of you guys did that? Okay. Well, the man who started that ministry is going to be here tomorrow with us. Brother Keith has just had a throat cancer scare. He did not have throat cancer, but they did rule that out, but there was a challenge. And I think it's a great opportunity for us to be an encouragement to that dear brother today and tomorrow and on Thursday. And I want to encourage you to make sure you listen carefully. He's one of the most intellectual men that you'll ever hear come behind this pulpit. He's very knowledgeable. I've been to his library, at his office, and just a very good, down-to-earth man. He has pastored many engineers for Caterpillar and John Deere there in central Illinois, where he has pastored for many years. And he's a guy that has a great IQ and a lot of intellectual things, but he also has a very practical, fun way in which to serve God. Every summer they have a special, they move their midweek services to Tuesday night instead of Wednesday night. And they have like a adult vacation Bible school all summer long on Tuesday night and have lots of fun. It's just it's a delightful church. And I want you to be an encouragement to him. If you think about it, I'd like to encourage you to write a note of appreciation maybe between Wednesday and Thursday after you hear him preach tomorrow. Let's do all within our power to encourage God's men, whoever they may be. But I think about this dear brother. He is a great man. And he has pastored for many years, and we want to encourage him as well. Don't miss the opportunity to show appreciation and encouragement. The Bible commands us to consider one another and provoke or challenge each other to love God and others more and do more for God and others, to love in good works. And really, that's why God gave us a lot of friendships. And that means if you got a good friend, that person challenges you to love God and others more and do more with God and others. If you got a bad friend, he's going to pull you away from that. She's going to pull you away from that. But it's a command of God to make sure we do that, and I want to encourage you on that. James chapter number 3, and we left off our message last week talking about spiritual wisdom. Just a quick reminder, the book of James is given to us. He and Jesus grew up in the same household, most likely with the man who wrote the book of Jude, the one chapter book of our Bible right before the book of the Revelation. And was a carpenter, I'm sure, worked in his dad's carpenter shop. His older brother was Jesus, and took him a while to figure out that Jesus was Messiah. But he became very convinced of that and also became a great leader for God in the church at Jerusalem. You'll see him overseeing the church, and especially in the Jerusalem Council in Acts chapter 15, after Paul and Barnabas had gone out and led many Gentiles to Christ. They came back with a little bit of drama, because some of the Jewish believers say, you know what, when you win those guys the Lord, you got to tell them they got to keep the dietary laws. They need to make sure they circumcise their kids. They make sure they do this and obey Deuteronomy and Leviticus. And Paul said, I don't think so. I don't think that's the mind of God. I think there needs to be some other things. And it was a lot of sharp contention there. So Paul and Barnabas would make their way from Antioch, the church that sent them out, down to Jerusalem. And James would be the pastor who would oversee that argument. At the end of the day, Paul gave his side. Barnabas gave his side. The Jewish leaders who were kind of not sure how to think about all this, they gave their side. And James said, I think it'd be sufficient. Let's do this. Let's don't offend God by drinking things that are strangled, or don't drink blood and don't eat things that are strangled. That's a pagan practice, and that would hurt God because God loves the blood. The blood is very sacred to God. The life of the flesh is in the, without the shedding of, there's no remission of sin. So God said, that offend God. Don't drink blood and don't eat things that are strangled. So we don't want to offend God. The second thing he said, and they came out of that meeting with, they said, you know what, let's don't offend others. Let's don't offend our other believers out there, especially those who are coming out of pagan lifestyles who have offered meat and vegetables and fruit to idols. What they would do oftentimes, they would go and offer those to in those pagan temples, and then they would pull them off and replace them with other offered, and they would take them down to the market and sell them much cheaper. And so it's kind of like if you were to get a steak or chicken or something of that nature, and it's the normal price is this, but this has already been offered to idols, and it's cheaper, and you can just feed your family. And some people would say, you know what? Who cares? You know, that's a dumb idol. If I can buy a steak for a dollar, or I have to pay $5, I'll just buy it for $1 one and do that, and I don't care if it's an offer to an idol. It doesn't matter. It's just meat is meat. You don't know. But then Paul says, no. Because if a guy saw you getting in line for that and he came out of that lifestyle and he looked and saw you buying that, it would offend him. So if your meat offends him, then even if you get a better deal, take the high road. Don't offend your brother. It doesn't matter how much money you're saving. Just don't be offense to another person. By the way, there are lots, today that's not our problem. Most of us buying meat is not going to offend someone. But there are things that if you do them, you're going to hurt your brother or sister. And Paul says, look, it's better to wrong yourself or to take the high road and hurt yourself than to hurt somebody else. So he said, number one, don't offend God by drinking blood and eating things strangled. Don't offend your neighbor by exercising your liberty. And he would teach that throughout his epistles. He said, don't use your liberty as a cloak of covetousness. Just really, it's all about money. It's not about that. You just want something. So don't do that. Don't hurt other people. And then he says, don't practice fornication. That was the third rule. Immorality is an offense against yourself. Every other sin that a man doeth is without the body. It's not good to lie. But when you lie, you don't hurt your physical body. It's not good to steal. But if you steal, you're not hurting yourself physically. But if you commit immorality, whenever you look at pornography, whenever you take liberties with your boyfriend, your girlfriend, whenever you start seeing things you shouldn't see, or you practice immorality, he said that's an offense against you. You're going to hurt yourself, and that's going to keep you from making progress. And so they walked out of that Jerusalem council. James was the man who wrote this book, was the leader of that meeting, and he said, "How about guys do this? Just tell the new believers that get saved in Gentiles churches, don't offend God, don't offend others, and don't offend yourself by being a pervert, by being practicing fornication. Make sure they know those three rules. And after that, forget it. Circumcision, that doesn't matter so much. About the dietary laws, if they want to eat pork, don't make them have to keep our dietary laws. That's not it. It's not about the meat. It's not about those things any longer. God nailed all those things on those ordinances were against us. He nailed them to the cross, and some of them, don't matter. Those ceremonial laws are not the same anymore. Don't try to get a Gentile guy to follow those rules, but teach him those three things. So James was a very good leader in the church of Jerusalem. But he writes now because persecution has been the norm. Ever since Jesus was there, it was at Jerusalem. He took the most persecution when he was in Jerusalem. He was in his hometown of Nazareth. They tried to throw him off a cliff one day. I think that's pretty bad too. But it was in Jerusalem that he got lots of. And then when Jesus died, he was buried and rose again. The new church took on lots of persecution right there in Jerusalem. And one of the leaders of the persecution after Jesus went back to heaven was the Apostle Paul himself when he was Saul of Tarsus. And he really caused him a lot of pain, a lot of difficulties. And so James writes primarily not to the Gentile world, but to the Jewish world. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into difficult, different kinds of trials, diverse temptations. And he says, look, it's time for us to grow up. You'll find the word perfect mentioned often. And quickly, by way of review, he says, you're going to show your maturity. And all of us ought to. And the one thing I want for you, I had someone the other day as a graduate of our college and said, being around your guys recently, I think some of them are a little bit soft. And, you know, I know that every time older people say about younger people, you know, back in our day, we had to walk to Chicago and didn't even get to ride the bus, you know, and it was rough, you know. And you know, we even walked back barefoot a couple times because we gave our shoes to the bus kids, you know, just... It was always a little harder back then, okay? At the same time, I also know that there is some truth to that. And there needs to be some spiritual maturity. Fellas, that's wonderful to be able to preach on the night bus. It's wonderful to be able to be a good bus. You need to make your bed too. You need to clean your dresser too. You need to do your laundry too. Girls, it's wonderful. You need to do your ironing as well. You need to be a good roommate. You need to take care of things. There are basic things. You need to pass your class. You need to show up for every class you can possibly do, but especially in this early semester, but all through the semester. Just make it, you know, I'm not going to give myself a pass. If I got a little bit of a headache when I wake up, I'll have a headache in class too, but I might as well just finish my class and get there. I'm going to go ahead and just make that a priority. But you got to do the little things. They're very important to do that. But all of us ought to want maturity. Well, maturity comes when we handle problems. I don't like problems, but they come every day. To anyone's life who's leading for Christ, you're going to have some problems. And the problems are not fun, but they ought to bring praise, prayer for wisdom, and perseverance. Keep going. You learn to mature because of a relationship with the Bible. We're so blessed in this country and in this college. Every one of us has a Bible. And we ought to love our Bible. We ought to read our Bible. We ought to make it our dear friend. We ought to be something that every morning you think about the Scriptures. Listen to it. Read it. Let it read you. Read through the Bible on an annual basis if you need to. But make sure that let the Word of Christ dwells in you richly. We learn our maturity by how we treat each other. How we treat the rich and the poor. The Bible says the rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. Learning how to relate to people shows your maturity, your spiritual maturity. If you treat someone better because you respect them and someone you treat them badly because you didn't, that's a problem. Because that person's poor, that person's rich, or because this person like you and this person's not, you better be careful. God is watching all of that, and it shows our maturity. Our maturity is shown in our works, our conduct. He said, if you've got faith, show me your faith by your works. In your service, how you behave yourself. And then we show our maturity by our speech. Chapter 3, verses 1 and the following, it talks about the tongue. He said, the tongue can no man tame. He said, whoever cannot offend in word is a perfect man or perfect woman. They are mature. When they go about hurting people with their words, you're looking at a very immature person. And I have watched men they can preach good messages, but they're in private, they hurt people. And they're not very careful with their words, and I have been one of those. I've hurt people. Matter of fact, I sent an apology this morning to a man that I got in a little bit of a disagree. He publicly disagreed with me about something. I disagreed with him, but I probably at the end of the day I felt like the Spirit of God convicted me, and I said, you know, I want to just tell you that in our disagreement, I don't think I handled that right. And if I think I asked God to forgive me, would you please forgive me for the way I handled that and how if I brought any harm to you in that situation? I want to ask you to forgive me. And I feel like it's better. I don't like to do that. But I would rather apologize than hurt somebody. And I think it's important. If God speaks to you about it, then take it as something you need to move on. That's something. You don't want to just say, well, he deserved it, or I know how that person is. Nah. Let's respond to the Holy Spirit of God on that. But today we're talking a little bit about, we talked about the wisdom that is from below, that is devilish, it's sensual, and it's fleshly, and it's worldly. And he said, you don't want that wisdom because it brings confusion in every evil work. And it generates strife and envy and jealousy. And all of us have that inside of us. He said, but that's not from God. He said, but the wisdom is from above, and your maturity will be shown by are these qualities your qualities? When someone says your name, people around them that hear your name gather an opinion. You can't help it. Every one of us are building a testimony. Lazy, hardworking. Carnal, spiritual. Soul conscious, could care less. Giver, taker. A good guy, better watch out. A sweet girl, she's pretty catty. We're building that reputation. Now, none of us are perfect, and we can be misunderstood. I spent about an hour and 10 minutes yesterday with a young pastor who said, Pastor, what do I do when someone has come at me and they have been able to talk whatever they want to talk, and And I've been misrepresented. I've been misrepresented. How do I deal with that? And boy, a lot of times there's not much you can do except for overcome evil with. You got to show up tomorrow with your head up and your heart tender. And you got to keep on doing what God, because really, at the end of the day, we have nothing to prove and we have one person to please. And I had to remind that young man. And he said, but I'm not only hurt by my wife. Oh, my goodness. My wife is so wounded and she wants to defend me. And yet I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to correct what that person said about me. And boy, one of the things you can't stop is accusations. You can stop them from being legitimate. And as time goes on, God will verify. The Bible says, when a man's ways please who? The Lord. He makes even his enemies to figure it out. And boy, those are some hurtful things, especially when you're criticized, when your husband will be criticized one day. And learning to keep that bitterness, I told him, I said, I'll tell you what, a couple things I would just say. I wouldn't go out trying to justify yourself. If you get a chance to explain to someone, feel free to say, you know, everything that has been said is not necessarily true. And if you want to know a couple things, I'll be glad to answer questions. But I said, the second thing, you need to guard the heart of your precious wife because she's in it to win it with you. And he says, boy, you're not kidding. I gotta talk to her because she's frustrated with the people who said that. And she keeps thinking about it, Said, you're going to have to learn together to work through that. And by the way, girls, if that ever comes to you, you got to learn. You got to protect your own heart because that root of bitterness is in all of us. It has to be monitored. And it has to be clipped because if it comes above the ground, it trips you up and it trips other people up in the process. Matter of fact, it says it troubles us and it defiles many. And boy, watch out for bitterness. And it's reality. It's not bad. It's just the struggle, the stakes are high, so the struggle is real. And especially in the spiritual realm. When your job, and many of you are going to stand week after week in front of youth groups and church families, and your husband's going to stand there, and you're going to be ministering to people, and they're going to come with the most challenging situations that you'll ever imagine. You don't even know what to tell them. And as you go through this stuff with people, you're going to realize, man, this is tough. I'm not just wrestling with flesh and blood, but with powers and principalities. That's why we have to learn how to handle our lions and our bears so that when we get our Goliaths, we'll know what to do. These things you're working through now, they're as real to you as they could be. But learning to work through them with godly wisdom. Let's finish our thought today on this right here. We're looking at James chapter 3. And I want you to look, if you would please, where envy, 3:16. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. How many would like to be in that arena where there's confusion in every evil work? I don't know about you, but I'd like to have clarity, don't you? I like to have clarity, and I like to have purity. He said, you can't get that by practicing earthly wisdom. Doing things your way will not work. And you're going to see your focus on wisdom. Now, wisdom, someone I remember right here in this room, I had my Bible teacher stand down here and told me, in Old Testament survey, my first semester, wisdom is pinpointing and practicing God's way of doing something. It's pinpointing. It's trying to find out, how does God want me to do this? There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but then thereof the ways of death. As for God, his way is perfect. Wisdom is saying, okay, what does God want me to do in this given situation? And then doing it. Wisdom is seeing things from God's point of view. And that is what we're talking about here. We're talking about what makes me mature. What will help me grow to maturity is when I adapt these principles of wisdom. He said, boy, if you don't, you're going to be confused and doing every imaginable wrong thing you can do. Sometimes I've wondered about friends of mine, and they are. They're confused. I don't like to be confused. I've been confused many times, and I don't like to be confused. I like to have certainty. No, this is what I need to do here. I'm on the right path. This is the right decision for my family. I like to know clarity, what I need to do. And I also want to be in a pure state. But earthly wisdom will not bring that out. However, heavenly wisdom that is from above, Let's look at the next verse, if we wouldn't please. Everyone look in verse number 17, and let's read 17 and 18 together. Can we please? Everybody, ready? But the wisdom is first pure, then peaceable, easy to be entreated, full of mercy. And verse 18. Here the Bible tells us, here's what the first wisdom that is from above looks like. Number one, it is first pure. Okay? And purity is powerful. The one thing that God often describes His Word is, every word of God is pure. When He wants to describe His Word, He says it's a pure thing. You can know it's pure. How many appreciate pure things? If you could have pure honey or imitation honey, which would you like? Yeah. And if you could have Coke or Sam's Choice, what would you want? You'd want Coke. Not really, oh, I've been waiting for Sam's Choice. No. You know, if you can have, you know, Mountain Dew or Mountain Thunder, let me have the Mountain Dew. I'm not interested in Mountain Thunder. I know it's a knockoff of this. I want the pure thing. I want the real thing. I like it. I like pure. And you know, God likes purity. He says wisdom is from above is first pure. And pure in our morals, pure in our motives. And guys, listen, girls, I can't be pure for you and you can't be pure for me. In recent days, I've told my wife, Linda, I just want you to know that I don't look at pornography. You can go through my phone anytime. I don't look at it. And she says, John, thank you. I was counseling a lady the other day and a man, and we were going through some problems, the aftermath and landmines of immorality within their marriage. And Linda was there with me. And the Lord has been very gracious to help this precious couple. But as we walked later that day, she said, John, she looked me in the eye, she said, John, I want to thank you for being pure. Thank you for staying out of the landmines of immorality. And listen, if I'm going to be pure, I got to be pure for me. If you're going to be pure, you better be pure for you. Don't let the little foxes, the problem with little sins, they never stay little. That little compromise you have in your car with your phone, that little flirtatious text or sexting that happens, it never stays little. And it's never anonymous. It's never anonymous. You're just like, oh no, no one will ever know. You're kidding yourself. You're confused. All things are naked and open to the eyes of whom with half we have to do. The ways of men are before the eyes of the Lord. He pondereth all his goings. He said, first of all, the wisdom is from above is first pure. Pure in our morals and pure in our motives. Motives have to be continually evaluated. You can be pure as a fresh driven snow in your morals, but you also have to evaluate your motives because they will surface. They will surface. I was seeing a man that 17 years that a lot of things were really good, but what we're seeing now, things that are surfacing that show that motives are not pure. And of course, Timothy tells us that in responsibilities and relationships. He said some men, their sin is aforehand. That means you can see it. You can meet them 5 minutes. You know this guy's got issues. This girl is not what she is pretending to be. Just listen to someone talk and watch them for a little. You can see their motives will seep through. And then some men sin, they follow after. It's a little bit later down the road of life before their bad motives begin to surface, but it will surface. We find here that he says, wisdom from above is first pure. Number two, it's peaceable. It's peaceable. He's going to give some more credence to peace in verse number 18. He'll say the fruit of righteousness is going to be with those who make peace. And you're going to have peace to make progress. And peace has to be made. You don't have a clean room because you want one. You have to make it clean. You're not going to have a clean mind because you want a clean mind. You've got to make it clean. And there's nobody else is going to do that. You're going to have to figure that out. But he says, wisdom is from above, is first pure, then it's peaceable. Are you a peaceful person? Do you bring big problems down to a manageable size? Or are you someone when you show up, you bring a little problem and make it big? We're talking about what kind of maturity level I have, and is this wisdom from above? It's first pure, it's peaceable. What's the next word you see in the list there? Gentle. That means it's just There's someone that's not like a wrecking ball. Not someone just comes in and says, I don't care what everybody thinks. I don't care, man. Tell you what, that was a bad call. That call, hey. Okay? That's not the biblical process. They're gentle, peaceful, pure. What's the next thing you see in your Bibles there? Easy to be what? Easy to be entreated. And of course, that would be approachable. Someone who is, have you ever met someone you didn't know where to pucker or to duck? To hide or a hug? You're not sure what's going to happen? People that are just kind of, their moods are so varied. You know, one time they're like, hey, how you doing? And like tomorrow it's like, don't even look at me, man. I'm like, what? And it's not about everybody else. It's about them. And you know, one thing that God's people need to be is easy to be entreated. They can talk to them. You can bring up something. Even if it's, maybe it's not right, but you can talk to them about it. And they'll be glad to talk to you. They'll be glad to discuss that with you if need be. And they mean you can't always do it at the same time everybody else wants to do it. But you can, someone who's approachable. Very important. It's wisdom is from above. Notice the next thing, if you would please. You're looking at chapter 3, verse 17. It is pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of what? Mercy. Mercy is a very valuable thing, especially for the servant of Christ. Apostle Paul wrote at least 13 letters in our Bible. Every time he started, he would say to them, grace and peace. He almost started all of his letters, he would say grace and peace. But there are three letters that he would say grace, mercy, and peace. Do you know what three letters those are? Those are the three pastoral epistles. Those are the ones written to Timothy and Titus. And it goes back to, I think, Micah chapter 6, verse number 8. He has showed thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee. But to do justly and to love what? Mercy. And by the way, in the Beatitudes, the Bible says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain what? Mercy. You extend mercy, you'll get mercy. You go sword for sword. I heard a man that he was really harsh with people and he didn't know what was going to happen, but you knew that you were scared to be around him because he might just really embarrass you publicly or kick you out of the church or whatever. And after he quit going to his church, he came back to his church and caused some problems and the people kicked him out of the church. And it's kind of like you live by the sword, you die by the sword. But you give mercy, you also get what? Mercy. He said, this wisdom from above is full of mercy. It's also with good fruits. It means they're the evidence of your life. You know, you can't have a bad root and get a good fruit. The root has to be clean, the purity, the peacefulness, the gentleness. If that's on the inside, it's going to come out. Whatever's on the inside of us is going to come out under heat, under pressure. See, I'm not what I am when you see me in the pulpit here at First Baptist Church of Hammond. I'm not what I am always in the foyer of the church, shaking hands with people. What I am, what you'll see the real John Wilkerson when I'm under pressure, when I'm being attacked, when I have pressure going on around me. That's how I respond there is really who I am. And who you are is what you have under, what you're acting under pressure. He said, full of good fruits. And then, without partiality. That means be careful. Because one thing we know about God, God is not a respecter of, and nor should I be. We need to be very careful that we don't just say, well, this is my group. This is my clique. This is who I want to be with. You might want to learn to love everybody. You might want to learn to let God push you out of your comfort zone. Go out of your way to be gracious to people maybe that sometimes are not very fun to be around. And then without hypocrisy. How many appreciate people that are real? I want to be real. Matter of fact, I'd like for people to be able to say about you, they're the real deal. That girl is real. That guy is real. They're genuine. They're not wearing a mask. They're not acting their way through Christianity. They're really real. They really do love the Lord. And I think that we have that in this room today. But this is wisdom from above. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. There's a lot to say in that passage of Scripture, but our time is up. And I'd like for you to think about verse number 18. Matter of fact, I would love to talk maybe a little bit about that in church yet in a few minutes, guys. What does it mean? The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Think about that passage. Apply that to your heart and life. Let's pray together. You may stay in your seats. But could I just ask you, if you would please today, to ask the Lord to help you be a Christian that has wisdom that is from above, not on the earth. And God, help us with that. Our Father, thank you for the privilege of looking into the Word of God and seeking to be a wise young man or young lady. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for what we'll hear tomorrow with Brother Tebow and on Thursday. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Thank you for this wonderful student body. Please help us to keep growing in Christ and in the knowledge of who you are and what you want from us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much.